time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the living room floor with a big bowl of sugar cereal, and we'll enjoy your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf!
Also known as the Cartoon Adventures of Teen Wolf in the UK.
Gross.
Yep.
And this was suggested by Jean Nemlikar. I hope I'm saying it right.
Sounded like you said Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, if it's not Jean Nemlikar, then it is Jean Imlicare.
Jean Imlicare?
That's a very American Southern version. Jean Imlicare.
Jean Imlicare.
Via the YouTubes.
We'll assume it's Jean.
Jean sounds sexier, too.
Way sexier.
So I want to give him benefit of the doubt there.
I wish my name was Joseph.
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 Like, I could start being Christoph.
Christoph and Joseph.
Christoph. I like it.
Zarbos.
Of course.
We just have
of
to bring it back.
Of course that would come back.
The show Teen Wolf aired from 1986 to 1987. Created and developed by Linda Wolverton.
I get it. Wolverton. I get it.
I know. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh. That, I see what they did there.
I need a window to jump out of real quick.
Michael Reeves and Bruce Reed Schaefer. And those were all the writers on it. It was directed by Gordon Kent. Produced by Southern Star Productions, Hanna-Barbera Australia, and Clubhouse Pictures. Ran for 2 seasons, 21 episodes on CBS Network. And for a short synopsis... Literally, this is a synopsis on IMDb. Saturday yeah. morning cartoon based on the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So descriptive.
Like that. Man, it's sweet and simple.
Straight to the point.
Cartoon based on a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be even funnier if it wasn't. It was just a movie. A
movie
cartoon based
movie.
On a movie. Based on some movie.
Can we make this happen? Somebody changed the IMDb description for us.
I know. Let me edit it.
Who has a login?
I think I do, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do it.
I'm going to change
it. No one's going to notice anyway.
I know. No one cares. A cartoon based on a movie.
Right.
So, Chris, who are a few of the actors who played in this show?
Okay. So, our main character of Scott was voiced by Townsend Coleman, which you have heard us talk about a lot. He was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, everything else. He's been in several of the shows that we have covered, so
wasn't
won't
he
get too much into it.
Wasn't he the Tick?
Yes, he was also the Tick. Spoon!
I liked him way better as the Tick.
Scott's father, Harold, was voiced by James Hampton, who also played Scott's father in the actual live-action film.
Mm,
so
yeah,
he did both.
He was the only one who reprised his role, I think.
Yeah, he was the only one that thought this was a good idea. And then Scott's little sister, spelled like it would be Lupe, you know, like the, you know, Hispanic kind of name, but they pronounce it Loopy. So his sister Loopy, voice actress unknown. We have no idea. There is literally no info I can find on who this was.
Wow.
So if anyone happens to know, tell us, because that's interesting and it's bugging me because this is the first time I could not find out who the voice actor or actress was.
That's so weird, yeah.
Yeah, it is weird. I checked IMDb, Wikipedia, TV.com, BehindTheVoiceActor.com. I've checked everything. There's no info on this mysterious person.
It just says unknown everywhere?
Half the places, like, the voice actress just isn't even listed. And then I finally got to Behind the Voice Actor, and that said it was unknown. There's literally no record. It's weird, right?
Huh.
Grandma was June Foray. Who is also known as Granny in everything Looney Tunes. So whether it was Tiny Toon Adventures, Sylvester and Tweety, that Granny voice, that iconic voice that's always been her. So
also,
June Foray or Foray, I don't know.
Yeah, she was also Magica de Spell in DuckTales. I recognize her voice because that's what it reminded me of, because I had just recently played through the DuckTales video game.
Oh, yes, the remake of it.
Updated one, yeah, and yeah. It had her voice in it. So I was like, wow, that sounds really familiar, and I tied it back to that.
Very cool. Grandpa was voiced by Stacy Keach Sr., who had a reoccurring role as Carlson on Get Smart, as well as lots of other various voice acting gigs, including several additional voices for Pirates of Darkwater, which is another cartoon that we watched on this show a long time ago, over a year ago.
Yeah.
Voice of Stiles was Donnie Most, mostly known for playing Ralph the Mouth on Happy Days and all of its spinoff series. They even sang a song about him on Family Guy once, where he rose out of the fog while they sang a song about him. And then the character of Boof, which is a weird name for guy or girl, was Jeannie Elias, who was the voice of Princess Toadstool from the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. She was in several of the Dennis the Menace cartoons, Pugsley from Addams Family, the cartoon, and she was also in the Jackie Chan Adventures and tons of other stuff. There's just so many that she has on her repertoire.
Very cool.
And then lastly, the character of Mick, voiced by Craig Sheffer, who is known for playing Keith Scott on the TV show One Tree Hill.
So this is a much more, I guess, star-studded cast than Street Sharks, that's for sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
Except for the unknown player of Lupe, whoever that was.
Loopy, sir. They pronounce it Loopy.
Sorry, Loopy. So I couldn't find a whole lot of extraneous information on this show. Some of it we'll go over on the while we're talking about it. But for a couple things, the town, which in the movie was named Beacon Town, in the show is called Wolverton. And that's why we were laughing earlier, because one of the writer's last names was Wolverton. The town that they live in is like a werewolf-obsessed town because there's been multiple werewolf sightings. And so it is a town that is like themed on werewolf stuff. Like there's a restaurant. One of the popular restaurants is like Wolf Burger. I think the high school, the mascots are like the wolves or the werewolves or something. So it's all very wolf-themed, which is much different from the movie where that is not the case.
That makes a lot of sense now. Because I was just like, wow, this is the cheesiest crap ever. Like, everything is named after wolves. What a coincidence.
Yeah. No, there's a reason for it. It's not a great reason, but there's a reason for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense then.
Uh-huh. Also, something interesting is something that I really liked about this show. Despite the young audience, the cartoon series delivered a very powerful critique on disability as civil rights, whereas It freely invoked an asthma attack or seizure when Scott would change, when he would transform sometimes into the werewolf form. So it's like it was connecting with people who were feeling sort of different or left out in high school, or who had disabilities or asthma. For instance, like I had asthma when I was in at least middle school, so I can relate to it in that sense.
I did too, but I didn't make that connection whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think like any of the episodes that we necessarily saw had that in it where he was like invoking like a trouble breathing or anything like that. But some of the episodes did. Okay. And I had read, because I was reading up on it, someone I was like, oh, okay, like this makes me look at it in kind of a different light. And so, yeah, that's something I appreciated about it. But that's really all I have for Marshmallows, because there wasn't a whole lot of extra stuff. It was literally, as the synopsis says, a cartoon based on a movie, but only very loosely. There's a lot of differences, but we'll go over those. But did you have any memories of this cartoon at all?
No. And in fact, after having watched this and talking about it, I'm like, I don't know if I've actually even seen the movie now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah?
Because, I mean, the only thing I know is he plays basketball. And at the very end of the movie, one of the people in the background whips his junk out on camera and they missed it in editing. That's all I know. That's all I know about this movie. And so I know nothing about the TV show.
Huh.
Or, so I don't think the cartoon. There is a TV show of it now.
I'll let you know a couple things that are different in the movie from the show as we go on. Okay. Then. Yeah.
I was talking to my girlfriend about this one that we were doing this cartoon. And she was like, oh, cool. Because she likes the Teen Wolf TV show. So she's like, I'll have to check this out. And I'm like, don't.
Yeah. I don't know how the show is. I guess it's pretty popular. It's gone on a few seasons now.
It's on the fourth or fifth season.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's doing well.
I assume it's good.
Yeah, maybe. Do you have memories? Have you seen this?
I mean, no, I didn't know this existed. I've seen the movie before a few times. I mean, being a werewolf fan, of course, I would have seen that movie. And I like the movie enough. I mean, I dig it. It's a fun movie. But, yeah, I didn't know this show existed at all. It came out, I mean, it was such a short airtime for this show that it was like 86, 87. And that was right after we were born. So we wouldn't have even, it wouldn't have come into our wheelhouse unless it got replayed later on, which it probably didn't. So I think we just completely missed it.
For a split second, I thought you were going to say, being a werewolf myself, I...
I can appreciate it, being a werewolf myself.
If either of us are werewolves, it's probably me.
I would say so. We might as well, I mean, that's a good segue as any, where we'll jump right into three episodes we watched for today's show. The first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, a random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course, we have to start with the very first episode, being Teen Wolf's Family Secret. Season 1, Episode 1. No description.
Good. So let's talk about the intro for a minute.
So Granny introduces it where she's like, what does she say? Like, be careful or beware, Scott, the rising of the full moon or something.
And it kind of goes back and forth between like clips of the show and even Scott, like talking through the music, like, this is happening again. Right. And then like this weird, super 80s newspaper-ish animation, like magazine-ish kind of style.
Yes.
Of him as a werewolf dancing with lots of neon sunglasses.
And like, it reminds me of like a Trapper Keeper commercial or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's so terrible. I hate it. I seriously hate it so much.
Yeah, that intro was pretty bad all around.
That honestly might be one of the worst intros I've seen yet out of all of our shows.
It's up there or down there with Mutant League's intro that was just really bad too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, man. Oh, yeah, I don't know which one's worse. Mutant League was...
I'd have to see him side by
side. Pretty terrible.
But I don't want to burn out my retinas.
Yeah.
But the song is something like it's a hairy situation. Wolf's coming out to play. He's going to howl today. I don't know. It was really... It was very on point, but also really terrible.
I have a question here.
Yeah.
So we find out, and I don't know if this was the case in the movie. I guess it was, but... So his whole family is werewolves?
Is? So from the beginning... There's a big difference. So in the movie, it's just Scott and his father. I believe his mother's not present. I think if I remember, she's passed away or something, which is why she's not really present in this cartoon either.
She's
I don't think.
Eaten by wolves.
Maybe. I don't know. But the father is a werewolf also. So that part's right about the family. Okay. But there's no grandpa or grandma or little sister present at all. He doesn't have little sister. He's an only child in the movie.
Right.
So,
she was added specifically for this show. I did read that.
Yeah, these were extraneous characters. They were added just to fill in kind of a family dynamic. But also, so a really important difference is in the movie, everybody knows Scott is a werewolf. Like, that's a known thing. Like, the whole town knows. And you
here,
know, that's,
only two people know.
Right. Styles and... Boof, who are in the movie also, and they know as well. So that part's still true.
So her name is Boof in the movie also?
That's not her. That's her nickname. I don't remember what her real name is.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
She has an actual name because that's awful, man.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Boof has an unrequited like love or crush, I guess, on Scott. And he is just oblivious to it. Because they've been friends for so long. Yeah, so that part's also still true. Okay. Styles, in the movie, he's kind of a con artist or just takes advantage of situations like he is here, where when they find out that Scott is a werewolf, like he makes like a bunch of t-shirts and stuff and tries to like sell them to everybody. he's trying to profit off his werewolfism in the movie as well. Yeah.
Styles is a terrible friend, man.
Oh my God. That's what I was going
to
say.
That's supposed to be his best friend, and he's terrible.
He's the worst friend because this isn't like selling t-shirts. This is a way different level. So in this episode, Scott loses. So we see his family album. His family album's full of them like transformed into werewolves. And again, this is a secret from everybody. This is something that they're keeping to themselves in order to stay out of the limelight and not be basically like hunted down and killed or anything like that.
And I think it's super weird that they're all werewolves, because I'm like, okay, do they only marry other werewolves or are they all inbred? Because it's got to be one or the other if both all the men and women are all werewolves.
I'm assuming that they only marry other werewolves.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I'm hoping
that might explain a bit about some of the looks that we see Scott given, though. This kid's eyes go cross-eyed a lot in this show, and it's not on purpose.
No, the animation is not great. just right off the bat.
So about the yearbook. Oh, so it's got the pictures of everyone as they're transformed.
The family album does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like in the movie, Scott has a crush on the popular girl at school who's a cheerleader in the movie. I think she probably is here too. Pam.
She sucks.
Yeah, Pam sucks. Mick, who is Pam's boyfriend, is still in this as well, also in the movie. And he sucks too. In the movie, though, he's this 21-year-old guy who got held back. Or no, he went to prison for a short time. So that's why he's still in high school, because he had to come back to high school after he got out of prison.
That's good.
But in the TV show, he's 18 and he's going to the same school. So it's trying to make him more a part of this community, even though he's still just a jerk. But he's a jock in this one.
And him and his girlfriend are wearing matching outfits. How cute. That's not embarrassing.
Scott is carrying his family album. I can't remember why he has it with him.
Plot,
right. He runs into Pam, who happens to be carrying a yearbook that looks completely different, but it's the same color. So they bump into each other. It's the classic thing where it's like, oh, they drop all their books, and immediately he's going to lose it. And so he picks up the wrong one, of course. He doesn't realize it until much later, and then finds out that, oh no, Pam has the book, so I've got to get it back, because otherwise she's going to find out and everybody else is going to find out. On the side, Styles is thinking to himself if I get this book first, and this is where he's a terrible, terrible friend. If I get this, their family album first, I can sell it to the press and make a lot of money off of it. Why?
So he would be outing his best friend for money.
Yeah, he even says he's his best friend end where we'll get there in a second, but God, I was just so mad at Styles in this because...
Yeah, he sucks, man.
In the movie, I understand where he's coming from and it's fine, he's making profit, but he's not hurting anybody in the process. But here, he could be condemning this whole family to make a couple bucks.
And here's one thing I didn't know. I didn't know what triggered Scott to turn into a werewolf, because it's not the full moon. I mean, he changes when there's a full moon, but he also just seems like he changes when he gets angry or upset or something, like Incredible Hulk style. And when he does change, he sounds like an angry old man.
Yeah. His voice is completely different, which is funny because no one else's voice is different when they transform in his family.
Yeah, just his.
But it's not like he sounds like he's like a deeper voice and he's hit puberty. It's a completely different voice and he sounds ridiculous.
So he changes, but he doesn't want anyone to see him, and he's out in the open. So he's trying to hide himself, but also trying to get that book back at the same time. It's not working out. So he ends up seeing Boof and she picks him up, and then it's like he changes as soon as he gets back in the car. So I'm like, well, that was all for naught.
Yeah, because he was hiding in that bush and he gets in the car with her as
like
a bush.
Sean Spicer.
Yeah. It's very topical.
Topical political joke of the time.
He turns back into his regular form, so all was fine. So it's like the transformations are kind of weird, and it's a little bit like the movie, I guess, where it doesn't have to be a full moon that triggers it, I don't think. I mean, in this case, it definitely doesn't, because his family is like werewolves the whole time, some of them. It's kind of like...
That's true.
Just a self-control type thing. And since Scott's still young, he's a teen wolf, he is...
Name of the show. Good job.
Right. He's not able to completely control it. So it's based off his emotions, like strong emotions, which is kind of cool and makes sense a little bit.
The hormones, man. Those teenage and wolf hormones.
Exactly.
They're rough, dude.
The clashing.
They're super rough. Yeah. So then he's doing all this stuff to try to get it back. Mick has this car going through a car wash. So then Scott tries to go in after it, into the car wash. And he turns back into the wolf. And he just gets sprayed in the face by a hose, I don't know, 7 or 8 times in a row. And I'm like, this is getting old.
What's funny is everybody's watching him. Yeah, he keeps reusing the scenes.
Yeah, constantly.
What's weird is this seems like it would have been a Filmation production, but it wasn't.
The exact same thing. It was constantly reusing the same animation gag.
Same
and
clips.
Stuff like that. At the same time, Styles pays somebody off to wear their uniform at the car wash, because he's trying to get into the car also to get the book. But neither Styles or Scott are successful, because Mick catches them. And I gotta say real quick, just to describe these two. So Mick and Pam are the default snobby jock cheerleader couple. You can imagine, like, Mick is always, maybe has like five lines in this whole thing that are different. And one that he repeats constantly is, "Get away from my girl, Scott." And that's it. That is his personality, is just the yeah. angry jock who wants everyone to get away from his girl. And right. Pam yeah. is the, I don't, like, almost seems like she doesn't really care. Like, she is totally cool getting hit on. But she's always like, "But Mick's going to kill you when he gets back." And, you know, and right. but otherwise she's just like, "Oh, hey, Scott."
She craves the attention, but she doesn't return it.
Exactly. Yeah. She likes it. But, you know, as much as she likes it, she also wants to see people get beat up by her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they're just like, I don't know, they're sadistic or something.
Scott, yeah, because he's trying to flirt with her to get the book back in that scene.
Right.
Or in one of the scenes.
Oh, it's when they get to the outdoor movie theater thing.
The drive-in, yeah.
And he flirts.
That, which is cool, because at this theater, they're having a werewolf marathon, a werewolf movie marathon, and there's a movie on the list called Werewolf of My Dreams, which is also awesome because it's very close to the next episode that we watched.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
We're not segueing there yet, but I thought I'd mention it.
That's a good segue, but we're not segueing.
No, not yet.
So you failed. No. They go to this, everyone's going to this drive-in theater. They're doing like a werewolf marathon. So we've got a werewolf in Wolverton going to the werewolf movie marathon.
Yeah, you'll hear wolf and werewolf a lot more than you need to watching this.
Styles has some sort of scam going, and Mick is falling for it. So they're out of the way. But Scott is transformed still, and he gets to Mick's car where Pam is there watching the movie. And gosh, he's such a terrible character. So, like, he gets in there, but he's kind of in the shadows, so she can't see his face. And she's like, "Scott?" She's like, "Mick will kill you if he finds you." But, you know, because he's transformed, his voice is different. But so then she's like, "Oh, but your voice sounds so macho."
It sounds like his voice is cracking every time he talks. Like, it's just like,
it's like an old man that's, I don't know, got some problems with his larynx or something.
His larynx. Yeah. Yeah. He gets the book back, but then he tells Styles, he's like, "Styles, if you were my best friend, I'd bite you." And it's like, what? That's it.
And it turns out, like, Styles had already contacted, like, the newspaper, and they came and gave him money. And Styles gave them the yearbook instead of the family photo album.
No, it wasn't even Styles. It was Scott who was there, and he gave him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But he didn't, the news guy didn't even look at the book first. No. He's just like, "Here's the money," and took the book. But then he does come back later and find Styles, who has the book, and gets onto him. So Styles gets his up and comings a little bit. But still, at this point, if I was Scott, I would just be like, "Dude, we're not friends anymore. That was a terrible thing you just did."
I also like how careful Scott is about hiding his identity, you know, by being in front of everyone during the car wash. And then in this scene,
not changing clothes or anything.
Yeah, he stands up right in front of the screen. I mean, he's literally right up against it, right in front of the movie screen. So all the light is on him. And he's just standing there for, like, I don't know, 20 seconds and watching the movie. And I'm like, dude, you might want to hide or something. Like,
yeah,
you're
it's
right
like
there.
The purpose of this episode specifically is to keep your family's identities secret. And yet you're giving it all away right there.
Right. And there's a couple of lines towards the end of this once he gets back home that kind of sums up, like, the whole plot of this show, where he's just like, "If only my family was normal. I guess they're okay, even though they're a little loony." I'm like, okay, so that's the show, man. That is the show. And and it's not easy being a teen wolf.
The family's there for the whole, like, family antics and just to have, like, kind of filler characters, I guess. I don't think they thought it would be interesting enough with just Scott and his dad. And his dad is, like, he's, like, the calmest guy. He's always just, like, sitting in a chair or something. Right. Like, I don't know. Like, these characters I don't think were necessary, but maybe they just felt like they had to fill these gaps that they thought were there.
And it's weird, too, because they're not featured very often. I mean, the only one we see much at all is his dad, and we don't even see him that often either.
Yeah, the only time they're really featured is when kind of in between scenes, like in between the main things that are going on. They're just kind of padding.
Yeah, or like the very beginning of an episode, we might
see
him at home. And that's about it. So
they're bookends and they're padding.
Yeah, they're really kind of it. Inconsequential to the overall story.
They should have pulled an Alf and done it where there was like Michael J. Fox is like introducing the episode or something in his Teen Wolf outfit.
Oh, man. That would have been pretty funny, honestly. I would have preferred that over the kind of intro that we got.
Yeah, it would have been way better.
Yeah.
So I guess now I'll segue with no segue at all into the second episode we watched for today's show.
Good job.
Wolf of My Dreams. Well, segue was ahead of its time because it was way earlier when I said they watched the movie, or there was a movie on the marathon called Werewolf of My Dreams, but this is Wolf of My Dreams, season 1, episode 8. I chose it because it sounded interesting, and I was hoping there was going to be a female werewolf in it, and there was, kind of.
Sort of. It's never really clarified, but I mean...
I kind of liked that about it.
It gives you the assumption that she is.
Yeah.
But, so the very, very beginning, they were at a, like, a school rally where they were naming the student body president or whatever, and it was between Scott and Mick, and... I could tell immediately without looking at any of the credits or anything that the guy reading the ballots was Frank Welker. It sounded like exactly like Fred from Scooby-Doo. I was like, yep, that's him. Like
we've heard Frank Welker in all of his different roles, so we can pretty much pull him out of anywhere.
Anytime we hear his voice now, we can pretty much peg it. So
yeah, that's same with Cree Summer.
Oh, yeah. She has a very distinct, that raspy woman voice. She's got that down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, and predictably, I guess, Mick ends up winning. The only reason for this was, I guess, so they could tell Scott that he's invited to the celebration party, and then he denies it because of a FMT, which is full moon tonight. So he can't come because during a full moon, the werewolves don't have any control over it. They automatically transform and they stay that way until the sun rises. So
I thought this was really strange because it's like Pam and Mick kind of act like they hate Scott, but then they invite him out. And when he says he can't go, like they get offended, like they're genuinely offended by it and like start making fun of him and picking on him for not going. I'm like, you don't even like the guy. Like, why?
I think it was just for them to gloat. Like, I don't think it was a sincere invite.
Yeah, it must be. It's not the only time they give him crap about that in this episode too, because it comes up again later and they say the same thing. And I'm like, geez, man. And this is where he's like, oh, it's hard being a teenage werewolf. Guess it is, huh?
I guess so.
Guess so.
So he goes home because, you know, it's the full moon night and he finds his sister watching this show on, it's a Friday night, and he's usually out on Friday nights, but since it's a full moon night, he has to be in. So these things all kind of mix together to make this kind of, to make the plot where he finds out that she's watching this show called Shayna the She-Wolf.
The teenage girl.
Shayna the She-Wolf, who is a teenage, you know, quote unquote werewolf on TV. She's a horror hostess like Elvira.
Yeah.
Things like that. So he is just immediately infatuated with her because she's an attractive female werewolf.
To a creepy degree, too, because he's like picks his sister up, moves her out of the way, and he's like practically drooling at the TV. And all I can think is he's about to run up to his room and start spanking it or something, because the way he was acting, I was just like, oh, where is this going, man? This is weird.
Well, yeah, it's the teenage hormones, I guess, mixed with those werewolf hormones.
Yeah.
First, he tries to call her, and it just so happens that he's able to get a hold of her. It goes right to the studio, but it goes to the security guard's desk or something, and she happens to be walking out and talking to the guard, and she's like, oh, I'll get this, which is completely, you know, unusual for, and, you know, impossible
to
happen, but hey, it happened. And so she picks up the phone, she answers it. And he's asking for Shayna. She says it's her. They talk for a little bit. And then she's like, hey, cool. Like, give me your address and I'll send you a letter or something. I'll write you a letter. And like after the fact, like she hangs up and she's like, oh, he's, you know, I don't know who that was, but he sounded kind of cute. And it's like, how can you tell?
Right. Oh, I guess we should say that, like, so the reason he's so infatuated is he thinks that she is a real werewolf. Werewolf?
Yeah.
A real werewolf. Wolf. I started turning, so my English got weird.
Yeah, because he's he's feeling really, he's feeling like an outcast and lonely because he's the only one, to his knowledge, that is a teenage werewolf in this area. So he's just an outcast among all of his, all the town people. Like, he can't go to the party tonight and all that. So this is someone for him to relate to in his mind.
And later he's like bragging to all of his friends about how he talked to her on the phone.
Oh my gosh.
He's so surprised that no one believes he talked to a movie star. He's like, how do you not believe me? I'm like, dude, come on. This is where he suddenly goes cross-eyed for no reason. Like, I screenshotted that crap too. So like, if you go to our Reddit, I'm going to post it on there so you guys can see it. It's pretty fun.
He was really bragging about it at the diner or at Wolf Burgers. And then, you know, he goes home feeling defeated because nobody believes him. Not even like Styles really believes him. So he gets home and he's been waiting on this letter. His grandma picks up the mail and hands him the letter, and he finally got it. And it's like just a default like a fan package that it seems like Shayna sends out with like autographed pictures and a form letter and stuff.
It's like everything you would get from a fan club.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just super excited about it, thinking like, oh, this is a real thing. And maybe to some degree it is. Like, it's hard for us to tell because we don't get to see the letter or read it, but someone tells him away.
Styles points out that that autograph is printed. It's not actually written on the photograph.
And I would think Styles would be the kind of person to call something like that too, because he's a con artist himself. So
yeah, he's like already thinking, how much money can I get for this? And he's like, oh, that's a fake. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's the kind of guy that will bite into like a metal to see if it's actual gold or whatever.
Right, exactly. So then Scott decides, well, I better be a stalker and be real creepy about it. So they decide to drive to Hollywood.
Those are his exact words. Yeah.
They drive to Hollywood. They try to break into the studio or sneak in, and the guard's not having it because they're not creepy. They follow her when she leaves. They follow her car to a restaurant she's eating at. And then, now this part didn't make any sense to me. Styles, again, bribes somebody and gets a waiter's uniform for this restaurant.
Styles is just always bragging people out of their clothes.
So he bribes this guy, gets his clothes. Scott dresses up in it so that he can sneak in and talk to her. But Styles, who is not wearing a disguise, walks right in with him. I'm like, what? Why did you even get the disguise then if you just walked in anyway?
Right. Like he's trying to play. Scott's trying to play as if he's a waiter. But it's like, why not just go in and be like, hey, I'm the guy who wrote you, instead of like putting on this elaborate scheme that has no real into it. And he's a terrible waiter because he starts dropping things and then he's kicked out of the restaurant as he approaches her.
He spills Shayna's food all over her, all over her lap and stuff. So I'm like, way to go, man.
Yep. Good first impression. And so he gets kicked out, so he doesn't get to talk to her then. And his last one is even stalkery-ish, I guess, but it's the simplest of all, because it's literally just like, hey, let's walk beside this van that's going in so that the guard can't see us, and let's just walk in.
Oh, Styles, in his infinite wisdom, then puts Scott on a gurney and covers him with a sheet, and he's dressed as a doctor, and he's running through the set like, oh, we have an emergency, blah, 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 get out of the way. And then a second later, the guard's like, wait a minute, this isn't a real hospital, this is a set. And starts chasing Styles, and he's like, there's her dressing room, get in. So Scott hops out.
He stands there for the longest time.
In plain sight while everyone's running towards him.
And then slowly hides behind a bush. Not a bush. This time it's a potted plant. Hides behind a big potted plant.
And nobody sees him duck down behind this thing, even though they're all looking right at him.
And running while he's still standing there. Yeah. So he succeeds at that. Does he wait for her to come out of the thing? Or does he knock?
He just walks into her dressing room. Like, because that's not weird.
Yeah, I think you're right. He just kind of walks in, and so he gets to finally meet her, and they have a good kind of heart-to-heart, which I actually liked this part, even though everything leading up to it was terrible, like the ideas that he had, the zaniness of it. But she was saying, like, he was in not really a straightforward way telling her that he was different, and he felt like he was different from everyone else and all of this. And so not saying that he's a werewolf, but just asking like or saying how she, like he can relate to her for that reason.
Right.
And then she says like being different makes you special and kisses him on the cheek. And he goes, you know, his eyes get like super wide or super big again.
And then she goes to the set. But like literally that is the extent of the conversation. It's literally like an exchange of two sentences.
Yeah.
And then kisses him on the cheek. And then she's like, ah, go, bye.
Yeah, but he's satisfied with that. Like, that's and it. I'm like, that's all I needed.
Dude, like, if you went through all that trouble, I would have waited there at least till she was done so you could talk more or connect some more or give her your phone number or something. Instead, he's just like, oh, okay, that's goodbye. And yeah. just leaves.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to be friends now. Like, there's not any connection after this. Like, I don't see what your plan was here.
Yeah, exactly. There was no follow-up. It's just like, oh, okay. Even though I'm super lonely, I guess like two sentences from this one person is good. I'll just go home.
But he goes back to the diner, I guess, the next day or something. Or no, that same night, I guess. And yeah. Like, because her show's on the air.
They drive real fast, I guess.
I guess so. And,
or they live right by Hollywood or something.
True. So he goes in and he's telling everybody about his meeting her, and of course they don't believe him still, and her show comes on the air and they start watching it, and she gives him the shout out like directly to him, tells him you know, Scott Howard, you're a real he-wolf, and he gets a real smug look on his face and starts howling. Like, that look on his face, I wish I had screenshotted that. It was so smug.
It was creepy, man. It's like, that's got to be the kind of look he had on his face when he's like sneaking into her dressing room.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
That was, I mean, I chose that episode and I liked it. I like certain things about it. There were other things that I really didn't like, a lot of the methods to get to the point, but I did appreciate the overall message of it.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, the last 5 minutes of the episode were probably the best out of everything we watched.
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you that. But that takes us to our third episode we watched for today's show, Howlin' Cousins, season one, episode 21, which is the final episode, and this was the highest rated as well?
There was only one website that listed a highest rated episode, and that was the first episode.
Oh.
So I decided, all right, let's pick another random episode, and I was like, we had one at the very beginning, you know, episode one. We had one not quite halfway through, but a little bit farther in, so I'm like, let's just pick up the last episode and see what it's about. We'll see if this wraps things up. Nope. But we watched it anyway.
Nope. This one has, it shows us some of Scott's extended family where he's got a cousin named Todd. He's going to hang out with, I guess they're on summer vacation or something, and he's just going to visit him for a week, I think, or something like that. When he gets there, Todd's hiding under his bed, and he is the most stereotypical nerd you could imagine. It's if you ask somebody to draw like a nerd like back in the 80s, this is exactly what it would be. It's like the guy with the white button-up shirt, the like pocket protector,
glasses.
The big glasses, the pants that come up too high, and just everything. It's
they
default
zoomed
nerd.
In on those pants for a while too. It was weird. But like, I didn't get the, like, so when Scott gets there, Todd's hiding under his bed and they have to coax him out for a while. It takes a while for him to come out. And I was thinking, okay, well, he's either turned into a werewolf and is embarrassed, like maybe his family doesn't know or something, or maybe he turned into something else. No, he's just that introverted, I guess, that he hides under his bed.
Yeah. I don't know what? If it's because he knew Scott was coming to his room or what, I guess. My dog hides under my bed sometimes, but
maybe. I mean, I hide under my bed, but not for that reason. No, I'm kidding. did you notice that this was super out of character for the TV show? But like when Scott first gets there to his cousin's house, his aunt hugs him and there's this like squeaky toy sound effect. Like, we haven't heard any sound effects like that through the entire show so far. And then all of a sudden we get this weird squeaky noise when she hugs him. That was weird.
I guess it's supposed to be, yeah, since she hugged him so hard, it like squeaked.
Yeah, it was a strange choice, honestly.
It was. I mean, because like you said, beforehand, like we don't have any sound effects. Like everything just very
like
much, yeah, very, very much like literal to what the scene is. But yeah, not a squeaky person.
When Todd does come out from under the bed, they all just kind of stare at him for a while. Like, no one says anything. It's like, it looks at his legs, and it's like the camera's slowly panning up his pants and up his, like, torso to his face. And then it, like, goes back to, like, a wide shot. And they're all just kind of standing there looking at each other for a few seconds.
It's like the whole time it was like scanning. The camera was like panning up, like everyone just silent and watching him.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on here? Like, I honest to God thought I was missing something at first. And then after like the scene changed, and I don't think I missed anything. I think it's just really awkward.
No, just really awkward.
Yeah.
So Todd has never transformed into a werewolf yet. And his parents are like, he doesn't even know that we transform into werewolves. Like, when the full moon hits, like, we go on like a weekend getaway or something, or a getaway to whatever, just to be out of the house when we transform, because we don't want him to know. Because sometimes, and this is kind of movie lore, it could skip a generation, because that's originally what had happened to with Scott in the movie. Like, his dad didn't tell Scott because he was wondering if it was going to skip Scott's generation. And that's why it was a complete surprise when Scott finally did transform in the movie. And so this is kind of paralleling that in certain ways. Yeah. So Todd has never transformed. Scott kind of makes it his mission to not necessarily get him to transform, but to take him out and to socialize him, to make him get out of the house some.
So this part I thought was funny is that, like, we saw that Scott's kind of a dick when it comes to Todd. Because he's suggesting all these things they do, and Todd's just like, nah, no, I don't feel like that. And Scott just starts getting so mad that Todd's so boring that he starts changing into a werewolf just because he's so aggravated.
Scott happens a lot. Yeah, Scott asks him, do you know anybody with a pool? And he's like, no. And he's like, you don't know anybody with a pool? And I was like, why was that shocking? Why is that such a shocking thing? Yeah.
Yeah, and he constantly, like, I won't say constantly, as much as he kind of defends Todd from other people, Scott also kind of tears him down a little bit too.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be giving him a pep talk and like getting him out of his shell, and you're being a jerk.
Basically, Scott's not a good wingman.
No, he's horrible. They eventually get to like a burger joint.
Yeah, this literally, like, the only places to eat in this show are burger joints, no matter where they are.
Scott starts kind of making nice with some of the people there, like meeting people, trying to introduce Todd, and everyone's like, Todd, yeah, because they all know Todd, and he's a dweeb. Oh, yeah, man, he's a dweeb. And then of course the one and only Dab comes over.
Oh yeah,
Dab.
At first I thought they were calling him Dad. I was like, is that his name? Like,
I
Dad?
Thought they were saying Dag at first, like D-A-G.
Oh,
but you know, the way he pronounces it, it sounds like he puts a Y after the D. So he's like, yeah. So this is just Mick with a different hairstyle. But as far as like personality, it's pretty much the same thing. He's the bully. The only thing is, like, Scott keeps getting so mad that he almost transforms and his eyes start glowing red. And he like gets up and Dab's face like he's gonna like beat the crap out of him.
Oh, man. How about how cool Scott is trying to be throughout this whole thing? So, when he first walks into that diner, everybody's like looking over, like, oh, it's a new person. Yeah. And then he's just like, at ease, soldiers. And then the reaction that the girls have, like, ooh, like, so clever.
Of course.
Like, wow.
Oh, he's so manly.
And Todd accidentally throws a spoon or a fork or something.
It's a fork, and it ends up in a girl's hair.
And so Scott goes over there and tries to act cool about it and like starts putting other utensils in her hair and like, darling, it totally suits your personality. And he's just trying to like play it off. And it's like, man, Scott, you know, this is not you.
That was weird too, because I'm like, the personality of Scott, even before they went out, like when he first got to his cousin's house, the way he was talking to his cousin, I'm like, this isn't like the same sort of personality he's had in the other episodes we've seen.
Yeah, that's exactly how
it was. Weird.
Felt.
Like, he's really cocky and kind of arrogant and kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was like Scott became everything that he did not like.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Mick Light now.
Right. Mick Light.
Mick Light. Or Dab Light.
Dab. He, they get invited to this party because, you know, Scott's emanating so with cool. coolness. And yeah. So
he
they get invited.
Cool now.
Right. He's sweating cool. They or first they go to the like they go to play mini golf, right?
Yeah, they go to play mini golf and Diab shows up and starts some stuff and
he hangs them both on one of those windmills.
Well, first he hangs just Todd on this windmill. And Scott just stands there and watches, doesn't do anything to stop him.
I want to see where this is
going.
And
then they hang him there, too.
Yeah.
And Scott keeps struggling because he keeps turning into a werewolf when Dab's around. Diab is around. And I'm like, you know, maybe stop going places where Diab is, and then you won't, like, accidentally turn into a werewolf in front of Todd, because it keeps happening, and then he has to run away and hide or something.
Right. Like, he had to jump in the water and stuff.
Yeah, before they go to that party, he gives Todd a makeover because that's a manly thing to do, I guess.
Right.
And has him looking kind of cool, so Todd's getting a little cocky. They get to that party, and Diab is starting crap again. Todd gets kind of angry. He starts acting kind of douchey and tries to get in Dab's face, and then Scott gets up in his face, and Scott ends up starting to turn, so he runs in a closet, and then he sees another pair of eyes, and Todd walks out. Todd had changed into a werewolf and doesn't know what's happening. And Scott's like, we need to have a talk.
They leave in the most conspicuous way. Like they are, all they do is like pull their jackets like over their heads and nobody, right. nobody says anything. They're just like, well, this is normal. So they get out undetected and Scott starts kind of showing him the ropes of being a werewolf. But what was funny was he's like, werewolves are incredibly strong. And he lifts these two like empty trash cans.
It's like aluminum trash cans.
Aluminum trash cans. Like, man, I could lift those trash cans now and I am not yeah. very strong. And
me too.
Yeah. Anybody could. Like a kid could lift these trash cans. And, right. And, but Scott's just so impressed by it. They're like, oh, wow.
Whoa.
Trash cans. It could have been anything else, but it had to be. And it, and you could hear them being empty. Like, it's not even that they were full. Like, right. you could hear them, like clanking around because
werewolves
they're aluminum.
Are so strong. Watch me lift these plastic bags yeah. full
Look
of
Look how
nothing.
Many pillows I can lift. Yeah. Basically.
They're pretty strong.
Yeah. Trash can strong.
So now that Todd realizes what he is, he decides he can now be a super douchebag. And yep. and he is like
he's taking after Scott.
Yeah, he gets an attitude. He's cocky in front of everybody. He's just like not fun to be around like whatsoever. So Todd's parents and Scott are trying to convince him that he's got to tone it down or else he's going to get caught. And he's like, what do I care if I get caught? Like, I'm a werewolf. I'm unstoppable. And his dad's like, do you know what they do to werewolves? And I'm like, well, who is they for one, and what do they do to werewolves? Yeah. I mean,
they don't elaborate. This. Yeah,
and they didn't. They did not really elaborate much aside from they're like, oh, they'll take you away or something. And then Dr. Luce Marbles shows up, who's a werewolf scientist,
right.
looking for a werewolf family, and starts interrogating them.
I fell for it at first. I was like, well, name aside, this checks out. Like
Dr.
This
Luce is, Marbles.
Yeah, Dr. Luce Marbles. This it's like, wow, this is really coincidental, but man, what a time for him to show up.
You know, yeah, I was kind of like, all right, this has got to be a thing. And I started wondering for a minute if it was Scott's dad wearing a fake mustache and glasses.
And
that's exactly what it was.
You were right. Yep.
So I like how nobody, even though he's like their family and Todd didn't even like realize that's
well,
who it was.
Well, even Scott, who sees his dad. Constantly.
Yeah, Scott didn't recognize it was
no
his
idea
dad.
And all it was just a fake mustache and glasses. That was it.
Right. Oh my god.
And so he's like all right, like as he's leaving he's like, all right, I need this boy to walk me out. He's talking about Scott. And so he's like, okay, whatever, and walks out with them. And then he's like, he reveals himself and he's like, dad, like, I had no idea you were a werewolf scientist or something like that. Something dumb.
And then they just laugh for like 30 straight seconds.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Way too hard.
That is the end of the Teen Wolf cartoon. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all we get.
That's it. That's the end of the entire series.
Yep. Walking
laughing
away.
About his dad's costume.
Laughing at Dr. Luce Marbles.
Yeah.
But the message was to try to basically get Scott to understand that being a, you know, that revealing that they are werewolves could put them in danger. And because I think he was telling them like, oh, you know, if we do catch this werewolf family, like we have to quarantine them for about 6 years and things like that, like kind of just upping the ante to make it a kind of a scary thought for Scott so that he would consider who he shows his ability to. And it, I guess that was successful, but it was the weirdest way to do it.
I like how when they turn into werewolves, like all that really happens is their arms get hairy, their fingernails grow, they grow a beard, and they have fangs and pointy ears. And I'm like, you know, if you take away the fangs, the pointy ears, it would just look like a hipster.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's even, not like his, their whole face covers in hair or the rest of their body. They just grow a beard.
Even less so with the Shayna, remember? Like, it was just fangs and the ears with her, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she didn't grow any extra hair or fur. It was just fangs and ears.
But in the Shayna episode, they did have one thing where it's like they leave you kind of suspecting where, you know, she's leaving. When she's leaving the studio, she's still dressed up. And the guard's like, hey, why are you still dressed up? Like, what are you still in costume for? And she's just like, oh, and this is that same full moon night. So it would make sense that she would still have to be a werewolf. And so she's like, oh, you know, I just have to go to an after party. And, you know, the fans, they'd like to see the costume on and everything. We don't, I mean, that could be true. But presumably she is also a real werewolf. It's never specifically said, but we can infer from that scene specifically that she is.
As Scott will when he's alone inside of his bedroom.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we let our inner kids in on the fact that they too have lycanthropy in their bloodline and may end up being werewolves themselves. Or at the very least, we put on a werewolf mask and go scare them for fun. Oh, and also we should see what they thought of the cartoon Teen Wolf.
This cartoon kind of seemed like a bad idea, and it still is. The characters were all really dumb, and the only good part is that there are werewolves. So I gave this show 2 bowls of dab cereal out of 5, and Well, I guess now that I'm a werewolf, I can go find Shayna and be her he-wolf. Bye!
You know, as terrible as some of the dialogue and animation was, I found a couple of things I really appreciated about this show. The fact that the Howard family had to keep their werewolfism a secret from the town obsessed with werewolves made for an interesting, possibly superior, change from the movie from which the show was derived. As an outcast with asthma myself, seeing a character that I can parallel my own personal perils to, even if the scale's slightly different, was a refreshing surprise. Overall, I'd give the Teen Wolf cartoon 3.5 big bowls of Full Moon Flake cereal out of 5. While far from perfect, I was impressed by the social commentary that helped me relate to this family of werewolves. Also, Shayna the She-Wolf stole my heart. A werewolf and a horror host? I'd be her he-wolf any day.
Just can't get over Shayna. She is howling to my heart.
I'm going to try to call her tonight. I'm going to call Hollywood and I'm going to find out how to get a hold of her.
You just dial 0 and say, Hollywood, please.
Hollywood, please. Yeah.
And you'll somehow get connected straight to wherever she is and you're fine.
Yeah, perfect.
So. Yeah, that's how it works.
My grand plan.
On that note, do you have any final thoughts?
It was kind of what I expected it to be for the most part, which was kind of a cheap, not knockoff of the movie, but a cheap, like, something to capitalize off the movie popularity. And that much it was. It didn't run for very long, so it wasn't super successful. The only thing I did appreciate about it was that there was that social commentary in it about, you know, being awkward, being different, and that being okay, and sometimes something to even be proud of. And I like that message, even if it wasn't like something that they pushed full force. The fact that there was even subtext that had anything to do with that, I thought that was really cool. So while not a fantastic show, and I don't know if I'll watch any more of it, I can at least say the few episodes we did watch, I dug a couple parts of some of them, and I think it was pretty cool. It was all right.
Yeah, and the thing that you said, this was capitalizing on the popularity of the movie. I 100% agree. It felt like a cash grab completely, and it obviously was. I mean, that's definitely the reason they made the cartoon. For me, the characters just seemed so one-dimensional that it was painful, and the writing was full of lots of tropes and cliches, and I just really couldn't get into it, but it's definitely nowhere near the worst cartoon that I've seen or that we've done on this show so far. So I can't watch it anymore myself, but I do feel like younger kids would enjoy it. they're not going to be so critical of, they're not as jaded about crap as I am. So it's something kids would like, but if you're not a kid, you're probably not going to be a big fan of this thing.
Yeah. This is another one of those where I would say, watch an episode of it and you'll kind of know how you feel about it, how you feel about the show after that.
Well, one episode would do it.
Watch the Shane of the She-Wolf episode. Cause that one was pretty cool. Some parts of it. Yeah. At least the last 5 minutes. Yeah.
5 minutes were cool.
5 minutes of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry. So it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Batman, the animated series, suggested by Thomas via email and Harley Sally Girl Alice via Instagram. So this is going to be a little different. So we had both of these who suggested this cartoon, and this is also a favorite of both me and Joseph's.
Yeah.
So we're doing a two-weeker. Is that a thing?
Two-weeker.
Two-parter.
Yeah.
Doing a two-parter. So we're going to do some Batman animated series, and then we're going to do another week. A Batman the Animated Series that is going to feature more specifically stuff involving Harley Quinn, because both of these two picked Harley Quinn-centric episodes for us to watch. And because Harley is such a huge character now in DC and in pop culture after, you know, Suicide Squad and all the success she's had in the comics, but she started in the show that she was never a character before this cartoon. So we have to give credit where credit is due, and we will devote one of our episodes specifically to episodes featuring Harley Quinn.
Right. But it's definitely not because we don't appreciate all the other episodes too, which is why we're having the first part where it's more general Batman episodes.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jean or Jean, for suggesting this, for suggesting this to us. Teen Wolf was an experience, I'll say that.
Yeah, and feel free to correct us on your name, because I really don't want to pronounce it wrong and look like a jerk like Scott.
But
hopefully we nailed at least one of the pronunciations. So
pronunciation.
We'll be right somehow. Somehow we'll be right.
There you go. Once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.